Next up, item 42.
Authorize the First Amendment to the 2013 amended and restated Visitors Facilities Intergovernmental Agreement with Multnomah County and Metro.
Good morning, Susan. It's good to see you.
What you have in front of you is a pretty simple, limited amendment to the existing 2013 Visitor Facilities Intergovernmental Agreement. The amendment will authorize a one-time $2 million payment to the Portland 5 Centers for the Arts. That amendment is allowing them to secure $3 million in private contributions to replace the obsolete acoustical shell system at Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall. The replacement of the shell will not only benefit the symphony, but it will benefit every single user in the venue. It will also potentially allow more use of the venue because the time needed to switch out the existing physical shell will not be needed since the new shell will be an electronic system. You may recall that in December I was in front of you with a more comprehensive restatement of the existing IGA. Those negotiations have not come to completion, and the mayor, Commissioner Cafori, and then President, Metro President Hughes, agreed that we would move forward with this limited amendment so that we did not lose the opportunity to secure the $3 million private contribution. You may have noticed in the ordinance that it does say that the letter of agreement signed by the mayor, the chair, and President Hughes committed to completing this by May 17th, so you might be wondering why I'm here quite so early. I would point out, one, there's no emergency clause on this, so it'll be 37 days before the mayor is actually authorized to sign it. Multnomah County may need to amend their code in order to make this happen, so we're trying to make sure that there's sufficient time for that to happen. Thus, the reason I'm here so early in the year. So, and if there's any questions, happy to answer them.
Mayor. Commissioner Fish.
So, Susan, when I had the honor of being the Arts Commissioner a couple years ago, the Oregon Symphony approached us and said they had secured the donor, the $3 million of funding, and was looking for a contribution from the city. So I think while it's not reflected in the documents before us, and because P5 is actually the landlord, I think we should acknowledge that it's the Oregon Symphony that is the current occupant that, among others, recognized that the sound system is inadequate and it has outlived its usefulness. Everyone will benefit that participates in programs at the Schnitz, but I believe it was the symphony that secured the private donor, who may be anonymous.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
And so I think we should do a shout-out to Mr. Is it Showalter?
Yes, Scott Showalter.
Yeah. Scott Showalter and the Oregon Symphony. This is a good leverage, and this is one of those rare instances where we get to put a little bit of public money and we get a little more private money together to maintain a facility that our funds were designed to help maintain anyway. And maintaining a reasonable acoustic system is basic infrastructure at the Schnitz. So thank you for your good work on this.
I would also point out that the council did approve a $500,000 contribution from the spectator venue budget for this fiscal year. That is also a one-time contribution from city funds to that project. So we are making a direct contribution as well as the $2 million coming out of the transient lodging tax through the IGA.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you for all your good work on this and many other things.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. So the city, for our assets, has a prioritized list of what's the most critical, likely to fail, cost of failure, consequence of failure. Do the visitor facilities, infrastructure buildings have a similar list?
I know Metro is has launched an asset management program, and they are working right now to improve their asset management knowledge about all of Metro's venues, both ones that they own as well as ones that they operate on behalf of the city, which would be the Portland 5 venues. I would say they're somewhat ahead of the city overall in their asset management understanding and data that they have. They have a pretty good handle on the OCC, the Expo Center. Portland 5 is really more of a collaboration between the city and Metro, and we've been working on that for probably the last 18 months. You may remember we've done a facility condition assessment and an ADA evaluation at those buildings, so we're working to put together more information about that.
So is this shell the number one priority for all of the things that we need to fund?
It's very high. It is actually physically dangerous. Portland 5 had to put some money into it this last fiscal year just to keep it safe. It is a structure that sits on stage over the symphony, and it needs to be replaced at this point. It is well past its usable lifespan. There are certainly at other spectator venues that the city owns, perhaps more pressing needs. You're certainly aware of the Veterans Memorial Coliseum's needs. But given that the shell is an essential part of any symphony performance and physically is a danger at this point, it rose to the top of the list. And as Commissioner Fish pointed out, there was a limited time for achieving that private contribution.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. You mentioned that this visitor facilities fund, we're still in the process of negotiating for houseless services as part of updating the IGA. And I thought that there were at least three or four facilities that were going to have some repairs done in addition to additional resources for houseless services. I guess I'm really concerned that if we start taking them out one at a time, we will never get to the housing service component of this IGA update. And so where are we on that? You said it hasn't worked yet, but where are we on that?
We are not currently at the table. The mayor's office and his staff are in conversation with the chair's office to figure out when and how to restart those discussions. I don't disagree with you at all that taking this piecemeal is probably not the best way to approach it. And many of the needs that we were attempting to address in the larger conversation are far greater than what we're talking about here. In the previous discussions, it was a $40 million contribution to the VMC, $40 million for additional P5 needs. There was money in there for Expo, as well as the homelessness services. We need to get back to the table to talk about those. Again, the $2 million is what allows us to gain that $3 million. So I think the mayor, the chair, and President Hughes really felt the timing on that was urgent enough that we should move it forward while we continue to figure out how the larger conversation goes forward.
So I have some more recent information that I haven't had a chance to share with Susan. So Chair Kefouri and I met yesterday, and while there's no guarantees, I think we are all committed to getting to yes on an agreement that puts forward those resources for services related to our permanent supportive housing and chronic homeless service continuum. What we agreed to yesterday was to get the staff back in the room to agree on a baseline of where the agreement is. In other words, we're going to unpeel. There were several drafts of potential agreements, and we're going to start unpeeling those drafts till we get to the baseline of where we agree that we are in the conversation, and then start having conversations sequentially in the same room, hearing the same information about what amendments, if any, we need to make to that agreement. So both the chair and I are approaching this with a sense of commitment and a sense of urgency. And the new president of Metro, Lynn Peterson, is interested in having her staff engaged in this as well, although I've not had a conversation with her subsequent to my conversation with the chair yesterday. So it is back into the discussion phase I'm not going to make any promises or guarantees except to say I think it is very, very important that we get to yes on this and that we resolve any disagreements that the county may have with the current proposal as it exists. A lot of their concerns relate to limiting liability and risk, and I believe we can overcome all of those obstacles. That's my personal perspective.
Mayor.
Commissioner Udaly.
Since we've gone a little off track, but the issue has been raised, I'd like to make some comments as well. First, I think it's helpful to the public to understand that the money that we're talking about is the transient lodging tax. It's 11.5 tax collected on hotel rooms, and 6% of it goes to the city, which is shared between the general fund and Travel Portland. The remaining 5.5 goes to Multnomah County. And let's see, that doesn't add up, does it? Well, we got this right off the website. So it's divided roughly equally between the city and the county, and it has traditionally been spent on things that we directly relate to the tourism industry, such as improvements to our spectator venues, which the city actually owns and is obligated to maintain and make improvements to in our benefit to the city. I share Commissioner Hardesty's concern that we were able to move forward on something that feels less urgent, although if it is a serious safety risk to members of our symphony, I'd consider that an urgent matter. But I want to state on the record that homelessness is absolutely related to tourism and that this is a legitimate use of these dollars. Mm-hmm. Tourism is a driver of gentrification, displacement, and unaffordability. There is a 94% correlation, or I should say there is a overwhelming correlation between unaffordability and homelessness. And tourism has a major role to play in that. We hear from the tourism industry and businesses who depend on tourist dollars the impact that our homeless crisis is having on them. And while, as a business owner, I can certainly understand their concerns and sympathize to a certain degree, we need them to recognize that they are part of the problem and that we need to devote dollars to mitigating the impact of tourism on our housing and homeless crisis.
Mayor, can I make a comment?
Commissioner Fish.
Since my office has also been deeply involved in these negotiations, I want to say that there is no disagreement between the county and the city as to the propriety of using essentially the sales tax that we collect on tourism. That's what this is. We don't have a sales tax, but we have a mechanism for collecting taxes on tourism, on the 16 million people that come through our community because we are a hot destination. And the question is, should we use a small portion of that to fund the service side of permanent supportive housing, as the mayor said? There is no disagreement between the county and the city as to the utility of using those funds. In my own opinion, we had this deal done if we asked some of the lawyers and accountants and other people to step outside after they'd made their presentations. Because I think there are too many cooks in the kitchen. And at some point, you can do risk assessments upon risk assessments, and after a while, you get paralyzed. So my only plea to my colleagues is we have a generous private donor willing to help us meet the condition of one of our flagship. We should not hold this hostage to the fact that we had hoped we'd have a deal months ago. Let's find the areas of agreement. Let's support the mayor in his negotiations. I have huge confidence, given how strongly Multnomah County Chair Kafoury supports both the supportive housing agenda and how diligently she's been looking for funding sources, that we'll get to a deal. But let's not hold up this opportunity to leverage private money.
I certainly did not mean to suggest that the city and county aren't in agreement on how these dollars are spent, although I think there is question in the larger community, and so I wanted to lay out my justification. Yeah. And I also absolutely don't want to hold this item hostage. It needs to happen, and there's a benefit to the public. So,
Yeah, it's a fair question because, you know, I get asked it too. People are like, with all the things going on in the community, why are you investing in the Shell, in a performance center? And so I just want to remind the public at this juncture that the fund we are talking about is essentially a trust fund established for the purpose of investing in travel and tourism assets and operations. It cannot be used for other general fund purposes. And there is a committee that prioritized this project based on the criteria that Susan mentioned, both the safety risk, the importance of the Shell to the performance center, as well as the fact that there's a private sector donor that provides significant leverage to this as well. So it's not as broad as people would like to think in terms of how we can use those resources. Very good. Does that conclude your testimony?
Yeah.
Any further questions? Is there any public testimony on this item, Carla?
Yes, we have two people signed up, Maggie and Shedrick J. Wilkins.
Mayor, we may actually lose a quorum in a little while. We still have five matters left. Could we enforce the rules?
Let's reduce testimony to 2 minutes, please. And again, testimony must be germane to the subject at hand.
Okay, it doesn't matter how many dollars you allot to housing homeless social services if the people that you put in place are not connected to the agencies that can help them. The quote-unquote social worker who has no education or training in social work and cannot connect this man at the library to any social agencies and will not because he's complaining about his pay, that it's above his pay grade. And then you have where I'm a Salvation Army. I went to my quote-unquote housing advocate. She knows nothing
about... Maggie, are you trying to do this?
I'm talking about this.
You heard Commissioner Fish's frustration. He has left the room.
I need you to focus on this issue. Right. You're talking about dollars for housing and homeless services.
You're talking about an ordinance that would allocate $2 million of the... Visitors Development Fund for the purpose of investing in a Shell at one of our performance centers. That is what we are discussing.
Oh, okay, but if you don't have the workers that can connect people to these services that have the training and ability, you're giving money to Salvation Army. Their housing advocate has no connection to any housing agencies whatsoever. So I'm just saying,
Maggie, when you come in here and you do this, you are taking time from other people. We've already had to shorten the amount of testimony.
There's nobody here.
There are four more items, and there are people sitting behind you who have been listening to you who would like to have an opportunity to speak.
There are three chairs. There's an empty chair.
They're not interested in this particular issue. No, I just need you to focus on the issue at hand. This is the third time you've testified today.
The social worker at the library is a county matter. We don't have anything to do with that, by the way.
Thank you.
I agree the audio system of a building should be funded because a large building like the Army...
Shedrick, your mic is off.
Just poke the button. Help him poke the button there on the center console. Thank you.
Which what?
It's good now.
Yeah, this makes my point that in a large building like the Arlene Stetzer Concert Hall, people in the outer part of the can't hear the full performance of the sound or the Memorial Coliseum. Kept it short. I'd say fund us.
Thank you. Any further discussion on this item? There being none, this is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Next